This is Learning to Fly, a radio show made in Philadelphia by Radio Free Women, heard each week at this time.
Good evening. This is Ellen Lampert, and this evening on Learning to Fly, we'll be discussing custody action for lesbian mothers. And my guests in the studio are Rosalie Davies and Mickey Weinstein, both of whom come from a Philadelphia organization by the name of CALM. One of you want to say what CALM stands for and is?
CALM stands for Custody Action for Lesbian Mothers. It was an organization that began from my own personal experience as a lesbian mother who was suddenly faced with a court case. And during the process of preparing for that court case, I discovered to my horror that all of the previous case law was against me, that there was actually very little case law, maybe just the last 3 or 4 years, that judges have ever used the word lesbian in a courtroom in relation to mothers. And I lost my children in that action, and I decided that something just had to be done about this situation. So we started by doing a great deal of research to get the national picture, and then gradually women started hearing about the research going on and calling us and asking for help, and from there we developed into an organization that's a free legal counseling service, and we do take custody cases for free.
Where do you get funding to run this organization?
Well, from difficult places. We have at the moment funds which are running out very quickly from a foundation which has funded us for a period of about 8 months. Our hope is that they will refund us. There's been a kind of problem, which I might interject just as an aside, as an indication of the difficulties surrounding all of this, is it has taken us many, many months to get tax exemption. The kinds of questions that we were asked are not the kinds of questions that are ordinarily asked. I mean, at each level of the bureaucracy, they stumbled over lesbian once again. However, we're hoping that we'll be able to raise more money. But again, the funding is scanty.
I think that this whole thing of custody for children of lesbian mothers is one of the problems that the women's movement doesn't really want to face. In terms of the women who get media support and a lot of media coverage in terms of being good housewives who raise children and also have a good job and look like they just stepped out of Vogue magazine, when it comes to another kind of woman and the rest of the women's movement, it's a real problem. And like I said when we were talking before about women never had to face this problem before. They got custody of their children because they were the mother. And now when it is acceptable in certain circles to come out, to talk about being a lesbian, I think that that's where the problem obviously starts. And in court, it's probably a very scary thing. It's the same thing with, I think, rape victims, that the courts and the lawyers just aren't prepared to deal with women who they've never had to deal with on a personal level, and especially, you know, the stigmas of society that go against you.
Of course, women have not been getting their children for very long, you know. It's only for about 70 years that judges have routinely given children
what
to the mother.
That?
They went to the father. The father was thought to have absolute claim upon them, so that in effect we're going back to a very unhappy situation that existed before. I suppose judges also, I feel sometimes, are overextending themselves to apply the principles of the ERA and to take into account other kinds of things like income or which parent is. Of course, a lesbian mother finds herself in the particularly difficult position because if her husband has remarried and can bring a nuclear family into court, then the judge is going to say, well, this is obviously an ideal situation for a child to be in, and it may not be.
I would like to address the first thing you were talking to, because I think you raised a very important point. The lesbian mother is not only a pariah in society and in the women's movement in general, which really hasn't wanted to deal in any strongly supportive way with lesbianism, because it hurts them in the political arena to raise this issue, but also the lesbian mother has a lot of problems in the lesbian community. There are several things. First of all, lesbians are somewhat threatened by the idea of a woman with children, because in every woman there is somewhere the desire for children, and the women's liberation movement and lesbians in general does not encourage child rearing, because child rearing today is still done in isolation. It's still entirely the mother's responsibility. She still isn't earning the kind of income to raise a child, so that it's one of our forms of oppression, having children. also it represents, I think, in the lesbian community, the heterosexual part of a woman. So that there tends to be an attitude, now it's not a stated attitude, but it's there, it tends to be an attitude of, you left your husband, you came out as a lesbian, that was really fine, why don't you leave your children and all of the oppression behind? So that the lesbian mother essentially gets no support from anyone except other lesbian mothers. There are a few organizations across the country that are really dealing with this, but they're all supported by basically by lesbian mothers.
I think that's a sad comment on the women's movement, that women who talk about support and shoulder to shoulder and all the rest of it really would turn against a lesbian mother. That's really, it is sad. For what Mickey was talking about before, about a father remarrying and bringing a stepmother into the picture, in the case of Mary Jo Reischer that was talked about a little bit this month in Ms. Magazine, they talked about the fact that even the judge admitted that the home that she was providing for her child was a good home, but that perhaps the one with the stepmother might be a better home. And that's really ludicrous to say that they're going to take a child away from his mother to put him in a perhaps a better home.
Yes, unfortunately, that's a typical example, because today judges have become too sophisticated with gay rights legislation hanging around and everything. They no longer do what they used to do, which is say, lady, you're really sick. If you go see a psychiatrist, maybe in a year or two we could talk about custody, but obviously you're not fit. They don't say anything that obvious, and today they say things which, unfortunately, the ERA, which I am in support of, is, and the attitude that Mickey was talking about comes out of the ERA, hurts us. If there's a father on the other side that in any way looks like the kind of father who can parent, the judge can get away with appearing to be very liberal and very progressive and say, this father is a capable father, without mentioning, and the reason I think the mother is incapable is because she's a lesbian. So that I think that's the kind of thing they were doing with Mary Jo Reischer. Unfortunately, and we've had several cases like this, when you move the children to the father who has remarried, you really are not moving the children to the father. You are moving the children to a new mother who is not their own mother. And in my own situation, my children were moved to a new mother who was not their own mother, who very shortly after had her own child, from my ex-husband, and who saw that as her new nuclear family, and was not at all prepared to genuinely take on two other grown children, I mean psychologically take on two other grown children that had belonged to a previous marriage. And that is frequently the situation. And although it appears in the courtroom and the judge will imply that he's actually awarding custody to the children, he's not, to the father. He's awarding custody to yet another woman who is going to raise this man's children.
Has your case changed since that original decision?
Yes. Yes.
Through the action?
Not
of
a court
this group?
Action, no.
No. What about cases where the father genuinely wants custody of his children, is not remarried, and whether the mother is a lesbian or not? I think that in view of the fact that most marriages these days are ending in divorce, there might be fathers who really just feel strongly about their children.
Well, I agree, and I'm not prepared to say that the rights of a father should be denied. I don't think so at all. There's an interesting article in the same Ms. Magazine that you're holding where a divorced couple worked out an arrangement, which I suppose could be hard on the children, of moving them back and forth. We know of such a situation, a lesbian mother who has two children and whose husband is tolerant. And their arrangement is to share the children. Now, of course, they live very close to one another, so the children can go to school easily. But it still it requires a tremendous amount of commitment and understanding. And understanding is not something that usually accompanies a divorce.
Mm.
And when a woman identifies herself as a lesbian, a man is, perhaps understandably, but nonetheless so, terribly threatened. And sometimes what he's after is not the children, but revenge.
Especially during the first year. Mm-hmm. We would like our cases to all be delayed to at least 3 years when he's got himself together again. But there's also another side to calm. One of the things, I don't feel personally that there's no such thing as a father who shouldn't have his children or might not be the better parent. And I also feel that mothers come to us, and obviously not all mothers, but mothers come to us sometimes asking for their children when they don't necessarily want their children on a full-time basis. that they have just discovered their freedom and are just developing their own lifestyle, but society has told them for so long that it's the worst thing they can possibly do to desert their children. It's considered unnatural. It's an unnatural act for a mother to desert her children. That's in legal terms. So that period of desertion can hurt her. First of all, can really damage her for the future because of the judge's view of that. But my own feeling is that there might be a period of time when it's best that the mother doesn't have the children, at least living with her, that she has extensive visitation, and that if she can resolve the feelings of guilt around that, that many times ultimately she's going to be a better mother if she has that period of growth, especially if she's gone from her father's home into her husband's home, has just separated, and has all of these responsibilities, and a man who is not particularly interested in helping, certainly in supporting, and during that vindictive stage, frequently there are no child support payments, and she's trying to reestablish a new life with just a little too many responsibilities, and I think that the children can suffer during that period.
That's true. The mother can also. You're right. It's very hard to develop a separate identity for yourself if you are taking care of children on a full-time basis. In addition to this article that was in Ms. Magazine this month, what kind of
national cases
coverage and support has this gotten in the media?
Of course, the Risher case, you know, was very startling. One of the reasons it was is because it's supported by the NAIL Legal Defense Fund. Also because it is being supported by
it is now an appeal. I think that we have to put the Richard case in perspective. It got national coverage basically because it had a jury trial, which is extremely unusual in family court and is peculiar to Texas, and was requested by the husband because he knew that a jury trial would be more likely to go in his favor. Most judges have never met a lesbian, and certainly most juries haven't, so that they are pretty freaked out by the fact that this is a lesbian, something they've never seen or heard of before, as a kind of a fear of the unknown. And it, of course, she lost. It was not, from what I understand, handled as well as it might have been. And the now Legal Defense Fund has picked it up on appeal, and I have a great deal of faith that it will win on appeal. Two major cases have been won in the last 5 years. Both of them were a family situation similar to Mary Jo's. This is about the only time that you get a couple go into court and say, we are lesbians, we are living together, we are the new style nuclear family for lesbians, and deal with this judge and make a decision. They always lose on the first round, and they start to lose on appeal. If they have a very good home situation, there's a good chance today that they will win. The reason they do it, taking this risk, is because usually they each have two or three children, and financially they can't afford to live any other way. Generally speaking, a lesbian mother has to decide whether she wants to live with her lover or not. And when she goes into court, if she is not living with her lover, she has, I would say, increased her chances of getting custody for approximately 80%. It's okay to be a homosexual. Lifestyles, alternative lifestyles are now being considered to be part of your own private choice as long as they're not conducted in front of the children. So essentially she's allowed to be a lesbian on Saturday night. And if she's willing to live with that, then she has a much higher chance of getting custody. Most women faced with the choice of losing custody of their children or moving out from their lover and just keeping a relationship separate will choose the child naturally, so that it's only when there's a kind of financial burden that's impossible that they do that. In the last year, there's been a fantastic decision in Maine.
In Maine, in the past several months.
I'm not quite sure, but I don't think that was to both of the women had children. But the judge said in that case, as the wording in the case is one of the best I've read so far, and he said, the court has to look into any situation where a couple are living together who are not married, or a couple are of the same sex, to see whether there is a stable home. That is the only extent to which the court should look into it. And if indeed this family is providing a stable, loving environment for the children, then there should be no further question.
Well, that this sounds like a healthier attitude, certainly.
And this is in the Superior Court of Maine, and this is just in the past 6 weeks or 2 months that the decision came down,
now,
and
that
the judge
didn't
awarded
get the
custody.
Coverage that the Mary Jo Risher
right,
case got.
Right, 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 it didn't. One of the things about COM, I guess we should say, we're talking about court and such. Wherever possible, we always avoid going to court. The golden rule of lesbian mother cases is stay out of court. try to negotiate in almost any way. And of course, what women end up doing very often is giving up support from their husbands.
In order to keep custody of
their children. In order to keep custody of their children. And surprisingly, a great many men are willing to bargain that away.
Mm-hmm.
But wherever possible, we stay out of court, and by far the largest majority of our cases are settled out of court. Now, in some situations, it's unavoidable, where the man absolutely insists on going to court, or where there's a third party involved, where the state itself or a county agency or grandparents are involved, aunt and uncle in one case that we have who are trying to get custody of the child. There's no father around. And there, of course, we do go, and for the moment at least, because lesbian mother cases are not terribly frequent in court, for the moment at least, the lawyers that we use are able to wow the opposition with a lot of material and research and such, which
yes, fortunately, until now, that most of the research hasn't been published in places where the average lawyer looks. And also, still, lawyers are not as supposed as sophisticated as judges. At this point, lawyers think if they've used the word lesbianism in the pleadings that they've sort of won the case hands down, and then they don't really worry because this is one they've got. And then they arrive at court, and here we are with an army of expert witnesses and all the school teachers, and then they get cold feet at the door because, so then they start to bargain, you know. And
we had a very wonderful case settled at the courtroom door, literally,
yes.
At the door.
Yes.
When the husband's lawyer saw what was there.
Well, even in this case here, it says that the pediatrician and three psychologists and a few other people testified that the home situation wasn't so bad, and that the child was comfortable, happy, loved, and that there was no reason to move him, and that to put him in a new situation may be more upsetting to him than to leave him where he is.
There's a great tradition in the court not to move children from any environment that they've been in for any length of time. But
in this case, of course, the judge copped out by letting a jury decide it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that leaves his record a little cleaner, I guess. But the opposition that's cited in here about the child wearing unsuitable clothing, a unisex suit of jeans and a jacket and a YWCA t-shirt from where he was taking a gym course, seems like pretty thin argument for such a case. It really
does. Well, obviously
does.
That's a jury that didn't want this woman to, didn't want Mary Jo Risher to have her son, who clearly wanted to be with her. He did not share the embarrassment of the older son.
I guess, do they ever ask the children their preference in these cases?
Yes, they always do. But unfortunately, that's another... One thing I should talk about is that in family court, the judge has incredible discretion to make decisions, much more discretion than in most courtroom situations. So that although in theory the judge talks to the children and asks what they want, that can be used under the cloak of judicial discretion to turn the case in any direction the judge has already decided he's going to turn the case. So you'll find in one situation an 8-year-old will say, I want to stay with my mommy, and the judge will say, of course, the child is only 8 years old, and although I listen to the child doesn't know what it wants. And in another case, the same aged child will say the same kind of thing, and the judge will say, the child says it wants to be with its mother, so obviously that's the place the child should go. So that it really doesn't, it helps with older children if they will say that they want to be with their mother and say it very strongly, but I don't think it makes the case for you.
I think it boils down to the fact that your sexuality is on the line when you go into court in these cases. Mm-hmm. That I think that the judges and a jury in this case probably assume that a lesbian mother can't be happy. That, you know, that in this society you still have to be with a man, and that that's the way a family should be. And until those things are really turned around a little bit more, I think it's going to be a big fight.
In some of the cases, sexuality has really been on the line. In some of the cases that are reported, where the judge has questioned the mother, for example, who was on the stand and asked very personal and graphic questions.
Which I'm sure they never asked the father in the same situations.
No. And the judge on the bench is really a voyeur. In that case, he was.
And they're obviously concerned about the sexuality of the children involved also. Mm-hmm. I think that any man is afraid that this pretty little 7-year-old girl standing in front of him is going to grow up to be a lesbian, and probably considers that a loss in terms of his 9-year-old son or something. I mean, you know.